wild at the village. Besides giving sour taste, wadung leaf is also used to remove fishy smell from duck meat. The duck must be the big one, so it is usually used male duck for cooking geseng bangso. Besides wudung yang leaf, this culinary is also cooked with other spices such as cayenne, onion, and garlic. Geseng bangsong has savory and spicy taste. Spicy taste mixed with sour taste certainly produce delicious food. In Banyuwangi, the food is usually served when Islamic events being conducted, such as the birth of Prophet Muhammad, Eid al-Fitr, and Eid Adha. But now, geseng bangsong can be found at Wit-Witan Market every Sunday. The price of the food is affordable, which is around 20,000 rupiah to 25,000 rupiah per portion. In addition to taste geseng bangsong, you can also enjoy other typical culinaries of Banyuwangi, such as rawon alas, sego cawu, as well as traditional snack, such as tiwu and gatot, which is made from cassava. Well, listener, that was our segment of Indonesian Wonder for today. I'm Purisa Fridella. Thank you for listening.
apakah mungkin aku ini sudah gila? Belum bertemu tapi sudah jatuh cinta. Saat tak sengaja melihat di sampul majalah yang tak pernah terpikirkan untuk ku baca. Tapi itulah cara cinta bekerja. Tanpa permisi dia datang tiba-tiba. Lalu ku putuskan untuk mencari tahu siapa dirimu. Dan masih mungkinkah aku tercoba memiliki hatimu. Hatimu, oh ku ingin gadis di sampul majalah itu juga jadi gadis yang kan temani hari-hariku. Dan ku ingin cintanya menjadi sampul di hatiku. Juga depan lo selalu menjadi nomor satu. Oh tapi siapakah diriku ini yang kata orang tak rupawan begini. Tak bisa asik bergaya dengan segala macam cara yang ada di anak muda masa kini. Tapi apa salahnya punya hayalan, harapan atau sekedar angan-angan. Lalu ku putuskan untuk mencari tahu siapa dirimu. Dan masih mungkinkah aku itu juga jadi gadis yang kan temani hari-hariku. Dan ku ingin cintanya menjadi sampul di hatiku. Juga depan lo selalu menjadi nomor satu. Sambung majalah itu juga jadi gadis yang temani hariku. Ku ingin cintanya jadi sambung hatiku. Di terdepan dan selalu jadi nomor satu. Ku ingin gadis yang sambung majalah itu juga jadi gadis yang temani hariku. Ku ingin cintanya jadi sambung hatiku. Di terdepan dan selalu jadi nomor satu.
Salami is a unique and typical food from Southeast Sulawesi, specifically in Buton, Muna, and Wakatobi areas. Kasalami is generally shaped like a tumpeng or cone and is yellowish white. Cassava, which is widely grown in the Sulawesi archipelago, is the main ingredient of kasalami. Firstly, the cassava is washed, peeled, and shredded or milled using a machine. Then the grated cassava is put in a sack or coat to be compacted. This compaction is to remove water content by being crushed or pressed using a tool made of wood or large stones. Then leave it for 1 to 3 hours until the water is completely dry. The solid is pure white. Next, the solid is wrapped in thick or banana leaves and tied. The solid is called KGP. To make kasalami, initially KGP is kneaded by hand until it looks like flour. Then the ingredients are put into a very unique steaming cone. This tool is made from woven coconut leaves. To steam the KGP, they use a pot made of clay similar to a jar. The corn filled with KGP flour is put into the mouth of the pot. Then it is cooked with medium heat and medium volume of water in a pot for about 15 minutes. One kaswami is generally made with a diameter of 10 cm and a height of 10 cm and weighs approximately 500 to 700 grams. Usually, a person can spend 1 to 2 kaswamis. Kaswami is sometimes served as a substitute for rice because it is often served along with vegetables and side dishes of various processed fish, such as grilled fish, fried fish, and salted fish. Kaswami is the initial food in Bhutan's traditional events. Interestingly, kaswami is also often used as stocks for trips or souvenirs between fellow Bhutan residents. Kaswami can be eaten without side dishes, accompanied by a cup of hot tea in the afternoon. The distinctive taste of cassava and the sweet blend of tea will add to this culinary delight.
Pasang mata menikah, melambungkan asmara yang selalu meminta. Mengeluh senja menanti datang sang pemilik hati. Telah menanti sejak terbit mentari. Jayakan sanubari dan berjumpa di ujung hari. Indahnya kisah kasih kita di masa remaja, di bawah rayu senja kita di madu bermanja. Tiada masa-masa yang lebih indah dari masa remaja, seakan dunia milik berdua. Hati terasa merindu tanpa rasa duka, berkumandang. Persona jiwa ku serahkan
Seret is one of the legendary Solo culinary delights because there are not many traders selling this culinary anymore. But you don't have to worry if you are already in Solo and want to taste this traditional culinary. Although it is a popular culinary delicacy in Solo, in certain places there are still traders selling this as compulsory seret, such as in the Gede Market, Lawayan Market, and in the Manahan Field. Called as Gempol Peret is beverage because of its refreshing presentation, but there are also those who call it food because it is filling when enjoyed. The basic ingredients of this typical beverage are rice flour and glutinous rice flour. To make as Gempol Peret, we have to soak rice flour first. Then it is shaped into small balls like meatballs and then steamed. Therefore, some people call gempol as rice meatball because it is round, made of rice, and its white color. According to the story, gempol comes from the word jempol because it uses the fingers. Seret is also made from rice flour, which is made into dough and then formed into thin sheets resembling wonton. Afterwards, it is also steamed until cooked. Finally, for presentation, in a medium-sized bowl, the gempol seret is aided with coconut milk, which is made from thin coconut milk and sugar. You can add shaved ice or ice cubes that are broken into small pieces. As a variation, you can also add pieces of jackfruit or cream sticky rice tape. For one bowl of es gempol seret, you only need to pay 5,000 rupiah. It is quite affordable, isn't it?
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcasts in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast via shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Don't forget that you can tune in to our program in online streaming at voanews.id, shortwave in 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and our application in RRI Digital for those of you love watching on demand.
Selamanya dan kau. yang telah lama ku nanti. Oh kasihku, kau membuat cinta jatuh dari mata dan turun ke hati. Tawamu buat aku tersenyum lagi. Oh kasihku, kau membuat dunia indah dijalani.
Visit Ambon, it's incomplete without tasting ikan asar galala, the most iconic culinary in Ambon, Maluku. It is called ikan asar galala because it has been known since ancient times that Galala village is a fish center. The basic ingredients of ikan asar are generally cakalang fish, yellowtail fish, or mackerel tuna fish, as long as the fish's texture is dense so that it is not brittle when smoked. Ikan asar is a smoked fish. This is smoked differently and uniquely. In general, the fish is smoked horizontally, but ikan asar is placed diagonally on the side of the embers that produce smoke to make the fish completely dry and fully cooked. The cooking process is quite simple. After cleaning the entrails, the fish is skewered with bamboo and ready to be smoked on the stove. The smoking takes about 4 until 5 hours. And it's done in a closed room so that the smoke soaks into the meat until it is completely cooked. Listener, ikan asar has an extraordinary taste because the smoked fish is savory and the aroma is so appetizing. Ikan asar is very appropriate to be enjoyed with warm rice and sambal colo-colo, a typical Maluku sauce made from shallots, chilies, basil, and key lime.
Give me.
Rupat Island is a quite large island and covers an area of 1,500 square kilometers. Rupat Island has many attractive panoramas and natural charms. Tourists who come can find views of a small river that flows calmly to a large river that divides the island. The view of the white sandy beach can spoil and captivate the tourists who visit it. Rupat Island is one of the big islands in Bengkalis Regency, Riau Province. It is even larger than the island of Bengkalis, which is the central of government for Bengkalis Regency. The location of Rupat Island is directly adjacent to two of Indonesia's closest neighbors, namely Singapore and Malaysia. Even the lip of the beach is also directly adjacent to the Malacca Strait. Rupat Island is an actively populated island, so there are no opening and closing hours. The island is open 24 hours. The entrance tickets to Rupat Island vary depending on what tourism attraction you are going to visit. If only to enter Rupat Island, there are no costs besides boat tickets for transportation. As an island that is intended to be a tourism destination, several facilities have been built on this island, such as restaurants and inns. To get to Rupat Island, you have to cross by boat known as Roro Ship or Roll-on Roll-off. The crossing fee is 100,000 rupiah per car and 6,500 rupiah per person. The crossing time is around 30 until 45 minutes. Listener, to attract tourists, the Rupat Beach Festival is usually held in October. This is an annual agenda for Bengkalis Regency. In the festival, there are a number of competitions that are participated in by the local community, such as parade of ornamental canoes, kites, pillow fights, beheading boat races, and many more.
Thank you. dan jaya di lautan para milenium.
Those who were victorious at the sea is the first millennium were the Indonesian people from the west. None of Chinese who sailed. It was only after south could no longer access the Silk Route by land that they looked for trade routes by sea. That was in the 11th or 12th century. Before that, no, there weren't Chinese who sailed. Aren't you afraid of 8 to 9 meter waves? He said that to me. I said that in Indonesia I've never seen waves of 9 meters. I want to see it. And he immediately shook hands with me. That's it, sir. That's it.
Kalau istilah PVC itu sepertinya muncul pada abad ke-19, sekitar ini tahun 1830-an, 40-an.
Feared around the 19th century in around 1830 to 40, and it refers to a type of sail that actually comes from Europe, which imitates the international term schooner catch or cat catch, which means a sail that is installed in the direction of the bow of the boat. It seems that these sails were first used in the western regions of the archipelago, such as Riau, Belitung, etc. Until the end of the 19th century, this type of sail was increasingly used towards the east. So the sail also arrived in Sulawesi, and here the sail was changed, which we know now as the Pinisi sail.
Jenis layar itu makin banyak digunakan, makin ke arah timur, sehingga akhirnya jadi layarnya itu juga tiba di Sulawesi. Dan di sini pun layarnya diubah sedemikian rupa sehingga menjadi yang kita sekarang mengenali sebagai layar Pinisi.
Indonesian people are challenged to become more resilient in facing life at sea. One of the communities that is able to run a shipping system and build ships is the Bulukumba community. However, the term Pinisi became known in the 1950s.
Istilah Pinisi itu secara umum baru muncul dalam cetakan, koran, dan sebagainya.
The term Pinisi generally only appeared in printing like newspapers and so on in the early 50s of the 20th century. In 1960, the administration of the first Indonesian president, Soekarno, held a competition for boats to carry copra from Sulawesi to Jakarta. And in the newspaper, a question still arose about what Pinisi boat is, because the term Pinisi was not yet known to people at that time. Because in the fact, in the reports of harbor master and so on, boats like that were still called palari. There was palari Lompong, there was palari Tongkong. The term Pinisi started being known in the 80s, especially after the Pinisi was brought to Vancouver. And there, the boats which were previously called palari were then called Pinisi. So the term Pinisi, which now we really take pride in, is actually a creation after the Pinisi no longer existed.
Terutama setelah ada Pinisi Nusantara yang dibawa ke Vancouver, dan di situ, di Singapura misalnya, perahu-perahu yang sebelumnya dinamakan Polari itu mulai dinamakan Pinisi. Jadi, istilah Pinisi yang sekarang ini begitu dibanggakan, sebenarnya suatu ciptaan setelah yang namanya Pinisi itu sudah tidak ada lagi. Ini ingatan masyarakat tidak terlalu tepat. And ada cerita bahwa perahu yang seperti itu yang pertama kali dibangun di
Arab. People's memory are not very accurate, and there are stories that the first such boat in Arab was in 1900, but no one remembers who built it, for whom, and so on. And until World War II, in the Dutch newspaper and the harbor master reports and so on, all projects like they were recorded as palari. So the use of the word Pinisi is something new, something that hasn't been around for too long, but with the motor and Indonesian sailing boats, all of that disappeared in the 70s. This is a memory that people are quite proud of when Pinisi Nusantara was brought to Vancouver and more travel companies from abroad ordered boats like that. The term Spinisi was brought back as a proud memory of boat builders and sailors from the archipelago. The use of the word Spinisi to generalize all types of boats is actually a deflation of Indonesia's boat manufacturing wealth, because in Indonesia there are hundreds of types of boats and they all have their own names.
Istilah Pinisi itu diangkat kembali sebagai suatu ya ingatan kebanggaan pembuat perahu dan pelayar dari Ponto Bahari itu. Penggunaan kata Pinisi untuk memukul rata semua jenis perahu itu sebenarnya suatu apa namanya ya, suatu deflasi kekayaan pembuatan perahu Indonesia, karena di Indonesia ada ratusan jenis perahu yang semua punya nama tersendiri.
Spinisi became known worldwide since its first expedition to Vancouver, Canada in 1986, where one of the crew members is still sailing today.
Mungkin dari awal, saya waktu itu yang saya cerita tadi, 85 dari tim.
At that time, from the start, I remember it was in 85 when my team entered Kalangan, and then I said I wanted to come to Canada. I hadn't applied it yet. Finally, after a long time, Mr. Felipe, a Frenchman who was watching us as a witness to who accepted the people, I said that you're going home, right? And at that time, many of others didn't come. I went first. So then he said, do you want to come to Canada? And I said, yes, sir, if you still need more people. And he said, you're not afraid of waves 8 to 9 meters, he said. The same to me. Then I said, in Indonesia, I've never seen 9 meters wave. I wanted to see it. We immediately shook hands, so it was a deal. At that time, I was on the machine and also on the sail. There were also 4 people from Tanah Biru also come with me. I asked to this navy man, how many meters are the waves? Oh, this is only 7 meters. How is the 10 meters one like? I said. Relying on 2 masts and 7 developed sails called Pinisi, the wind has been the main force for Indonesian sailors since the 12th century to sail to their destination. If we sail, we just play with the sails according to the wind. Maybe there will be a change in the wind for several hours, like here yesterday. Sailing without wind for 2 hours could take one day because of the wind. Well, if you use an engine, you can calculate the speed and at what time we will arrive. Well, if we just play with the sails, we cannot predict when we will arrive.
Kapal Pinisi di Banyuwangi ini asalnya dari Arab, dulu pun Mbak, Sulawesi Selatan.
The Spinisi ship was built originally from Arab Lumpumba, Sulawesi. Starting from the year before independence in 1945, after independence, it already existed before. From generation to generation, we have been able to make this ship without any finished drawings. It has been passed down from our ancestors until now. We do it without any technical knowledge. It is just based on experience and it is recognized throughout the world.
Ada bilang teknik bagaimana dan di segi pengalaman saja. Dia kuelen seluruh dunia. Kalau dengan pinisinya 1 jam lebih.
With the Pinisi, it took more than a year, but this time we make it on the Losari Beach. It is the fastest one because in just 2 months and a half has been like this with 2 units with 25 people working. Yes, ironwood, BT wood and kick wood. It only needs 3 types of wood in terms of its strength. In the sea, you can make just any kinds of wood. I used to have finishing made from biki wood, but the scarcity of biki wood forced me to use it only for the sheep films. Now I cannot do it anymore. The deck is made of teak wood.
Sekarang tidak bisa lagi karena sudah berkurang. Sisa untuk pasar tuan. Depnya ini kayu jati. Ini nas, papang papangnya disusun. Kesep satu.
The shoots, the planks are arranged one by one. Then they go up here. After the body is finished, then the tusks are installed. Once the tusks are installed, the road is installed, the bottom is then the gutter, then the floor, then the room. The room has all the walls and partitions made. After this, it has been put on the hub, this is lowered, and the mat is made. The mat is then put on the hose rope. The master dan the sail is put on.
Kali sering, kali tian, nampak buatan baru pasang layarnya, begitu.
The system and calculation for making Finnish sailing ships have been known to people of Ara village Bulukumba since 19th century. However, according to a research conducted by German historian Horst Lippner, only 12 Lemo-Lemo people knew this shipbuilding system. The system is named Tatatalu.
Itu dari rumusnya begini. Kita ini ahli.
That's the formula. So this is how we are ship's experts, Wandi Talupi. The important thing is that we know the length, width, and height, that this is 6 meters, the length is 30 meters, the height is 3 meters. They keep installing it, and then it will be right when it hits 6 meters. Indeed, we already have experience in that aspect, without saying that it is balanced. It is already balanced because it is our technique, our experience, so that it is a precise up to 6 meters without any writing about so many or so. Each one works, each one is an expert.
Ada satu hal dan itu intinya dari warisan dunianya itu. Yaitu.
There is one thing that is absence of world heritage, namely what we can call a formula for making it. Many people say that boats are made without drawings and so on, and that is actually not true. There is a formula that is not made into a drawing, but made into various sizes which are recorded about the gorge. There are various bangli that are used with signs that determine the measurements, for example, the location of the pegs in the hull, the length of the planks, the location of the frame, and so on. Those who will still inherit this knowledge today are the descendants of the Lemo-Lemo people. It seems to have a formula called Tatatalu, which can produce boats up to 14 meter long. PLM boats, or whatever boats were called Finnisi in the 70s, were much bigger. So there is an impression that the Ara people at some point in 1930s to 1950s created a new manufacturing formula called Tata Apa, which could produce larger boats.
Jadi ada kesan bahwa orang Ara pada suatu saat tahun 1930-an sampai 50-an menciptakan satu rumus pembuatan yang baru yang dinamakan Tata Apa yang bisa menghasilkan perahu yang lebih besar. Membangun suatu perahu itu adalah suatu hal yang sangat-sangat rumit. Secara populer, perahu layar itu diakui sebagai
building a boat is very, very complicated things. Popularly, the sailboat is recognized as the most complicated human creation that has existed before the Industrial Revolution in the 18th century. This means that throughout human history, nothing more complicated has been built than a sailboat. If we compare the parts of number of objects in this boat, whatever there is, as far as I know, is 100 times more than a cell phone. And they all have to function the same as cell phone. If you install one small part wrongly, the sofa won't work. It's the same as if boat is installed incorrectly. One small part of the boat won't work. And there is another point here. Boat is not something rectangular, but it created through a curve. The curve must be harmonious. If the curve is crooked, the boat will not fail. Maybe someone remembers in high school we are taught how to calculate the curve F from X, which is the most complicated, right? Maybe those who have gone through it have all said, wow, this is very difficult, but the boat can only function if the curve is harmonious. The curve can be calculated in that way. So the knowledge to create curves has been going on in the archaeology for 1,000 years. And the way of conceptualizing curves is not much different from shipwrecks from the 10th century to boats built in the mid-20th century. These things are very complicated, so they are not for public consumption because they are too complicated. But in order to deepen them and make them something to be proud of, things like that should be made more public, put forward more to the general public so that they are not reduced to only finicky.
Chaga dan mengkat cekkan kurva-kurva ini tidak jauh berbeda dari kapal-kapal karam yang dari abad ke-10 dengan perahu-perahu yang dibangun pada pertengahan abad ke-20. Hal-hal itu amat-amat rumit. Sehingga bukan menjadi ini baru kesenjian halaya kerana wah memang terlalu rumit. Tetapi untuk apa ya? Memperdalamnya dan menjadikannya sesuatu yang bisa dibanggakan. Hal-hal seperti itu semestinya memang lebih diumumkan, lebih di kedepankan kepada khalayak ramai supaya itu tidak direduksi atau ini sih doang.
Jakarta, Indonesia. Here is Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz. Online streaming voanews.id and RRI Digital Mobile Application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
From
This is Ray with the news. First, the headlines. Indonesian Vice President supports AI in national education. Indonesian government ensures national rice production surplus. And now the news in details. The first news. Indonesian Vice President Gibran Raka Buming Raka emphasized the importance of adapting the advancement in artificial intelligence in the field of education after visiting SMA 66 Jakarta on Wednesday. He told reporters that the government will continue to promote the use of AI to enhance students' productivity and creativity in schools.
Sekarang sudah diatur semua yang jelas.
Now everything has been said. What is clear is that our concern now is how this AI can be used by young people, students, for productive activities, for brainstorming, for getting feedback. As I said earlier, once again, productivity, creativity can be supported by AI.
sekali lagi yang namanya produktivitas, kreativitas itu bisa ditunjang dengan adanya AI.
In addition, Gibran stated that this initiative will be coordinated with relevant ministries in line with President's directives. The government also aims to introduce subjects that aligns with technological advancements, including at the elementary and kindergarten levels. With AI rapidly evolving worldwide, the Indonesian government is striving to keep pace. Regulations and policies on AI utilization in education will continue to be reviewed to ensure that future generations are well prepared to face upcoming challenges. The next news. The Indonesian government is targeting that Indonesia will not need to import rice by maintaining an annual surplus in the range of 5 to 6 million tons. More complete information to be delivered by Dora Pardede.
The Indonesian government has ensured that the national rice production until April 2025 is a surplus compared to that of the previous year, which was around 2.8 to 3 million tons. This was conveyed by Deputy Minister of Agriculture Sudaryono in his statement to the media after a meeting with President Prabowo at the Merdeka Village, Jakarta, Wednesday. Sudaryono said that President Prabowo acts to maintain this positive trend. Sudaryono also explained that the government is targeting Indonesia will not need to import rice by maintaining an annual surplus in the range of 5 to 6 million tons.
Kan produksi kita itu kan...
Our production is around 30 million every year. 30 to 31 million. Well, we want it. If we really do not want to import rice, then there must be a surplus of at least 5 to 6 million in a year.
Sudaryono further explained, to ensure increased production, the government emphasized the importance of accelerating the agricultural process. Farmers are expected to immediately replant after harvest so that in 1 year they can harvest up to 3 times. Facing the dry season in 2025, Sudaryono said the government has prepared a pumping step as an agricultural strategy for farmers so as to maintain the national food stock. Dora Pardede for Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world.
Continuing on. Indonesian President Prabowo Subianto will form a task force to accelerate national waste management through the preparation of infrastructure and technology. Dora Pardede has the details.
The waste problem in various regions is a concern and priority for President Prabowo Subianto. This was conveyed by the Coordinating Minister for Infrastructure and Regional Development, Agus Harimurti Yudhoyono, in his press statement, after a limited meeting with a number of ministers of the Red and White Cabinet at the Merdeka Village, Jakarta, Wednesday. Agus Harimurti Yudhoyono revealed that as a concrete step to address the waste problem, President Prabowo has ordered the formation of a task force to accelerate national waste management that will focus on infrastructure and the implementation of technology-based policies. According to Agus Harimurti Yudhoyono, this task force will be tasked with evaluating 12 cities designated as cities that focus on waste management in accordance with Presidential Regulation Number 35 of 2018 regarding the acceleration of the installation of waste processing facilities into electrical energy based on environmentally friendly technology.
Tentu Satgas ini akan melakukan.
Of course, the task force will evaluate what has been running so far. There has been Presidential Regulation Number 35 of 2018, meaning it has been running for about 7 years. There are 12 cities in Indonesia that must focus on waste management and are even expected to be able to convert waste into energy.
In addition to forming a National Waste Management Acceleration Task Force, Agus Harimurti Yudhoyono explained that building public awareness and concern in handling waste problem is important, one of which is by increasing education and socialization regarding waste management from an early age in school. Agus Harimurti Yudhoyono also explained that the government will also focus on implementing technology and strengthening infrastructure in handling waste from upstream to downstream. As part of the national effort, Agus Harimurti Yudhoyono said the government will also present a national movement for a clean Indonesia from waste to increase public awareness and ensure that waste management is carried out sustainably. Dora Pardede for Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world.
Well, listeners, this news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.